Welcome to another Fresh Ubuntu podcast. This is Harlem, and along with my co-host and Galactic Overlord, at least that's what he is this week, Peter. This week we have a lot of news to cover, too much to mention here, but also we have our own little post-release party frenzy, where we download the ISOs and install them on our computers, and of course, our user feedback. Don't forget we have a man page minute, and the usual fun banter that we provide each and every week. So stay tuned as we start an hour of Ubuntu. That is a great finish to an eventful week. So we'll be right back. Alright, we are back. Peter, how's it going? My name is, you all know who I am, but, how's it going? Today is the release day.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. It's, it appears, and, the rumors appear to have been true that the Hardy, release candidate just turned into the final release. Mm-hmm. So, all the machines that I had updated up to yesterday are just, you know, they're not getting updates today. We're all set. And that's good and bad. It's good because, you know, hey, my, you know, release candidate machines are up to date, but it's bad because that one last bug on my Dell Latitude where Network Manager just kind of vanishes unceremoniously, it still persists. So, not sure what I want to do about that. But I completed an upgrade from one of my desktops from Gutsy to Hardy, and it went, I went into Update Manager, it said there's a new version available, I said, yep, do it. And it took about an hour, I think an hour and a half or so, and I've got an upgraded desktop. So so far, knock on wood, it's gone very smoothly.
Good. Yeah, I was looking at the Ubuntu.com site yesterday, and they were really urging people to download the release candidate, you know, one or 2 days early. And for some odd reason, I was going, why is so late in the game to download the release candidate? And I sort of am thinking that maybe it was sort of a planned kind of thing where people would download the release candidate and perhaps magically on the day of the release have the full-blown Ubuntu release, Hardy Heron, as they wake up, you know?
Yep. And that's good, though, because this is, you know, in the past, what we've always complained about how long it's taken to, you know, download things and the servers are all slow and bogged down, and whether you're just doing your upgrade or whether you're trying to download the ISO, it always takes forever. And maybe they've gotten that under control now.
Yep, I'm actually hoping so. But then again, you mentioned that, you know, some of the things that are a little bit buggy kind of stick around even after the fact. So, and that's one bad thing. But what can you do? So I downloaded the ISO today, courtesy of the torrents that Michael Ram provided for me. I went onto his website, and I'll give you that at the end of the podcast. I'll give you the links, and I'll also put them up on freshubuntu.org. But anyway, I downloaded it here at work and took about an hour and a little bit over an hour, which is pretty good considering, you know, it was downloading at maybe 400 kilobits per whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty darn fast for an ISO, for a torrent for me. I've never gotten above 160. And secondly, the surprising thing to me was I was using Comcast, which I thought throttled BitTorrent, but
they do and they don't. Sometimes they do. It depends on where you're at, and according to some, it also depends on if you have a bandwidth cap. I saw an article on that a couple of months ago saying, according to Comcast and Charter, it depends really strongly on your location. Though, if you're in certain cities, there's no capping and the bandwidth is just insanely high. And then if you're in other places, they both throttle the amount of bandwidth you have, and they cap you and, you know, cut off your downloads and all kinds of fun things like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm also having a problem with Comcast right now. They're actually being nice and helping me to fix it. I'm not able to use my IRC client. I'd like to use Pigeon, but anything will do at this point. And I'm not able to resolve my host name, so the servers won't even let me on there. But Comcast, to their, you know, I want to give them a little bit of credit. They've been very nice, and they've been helping me out. And so hopefully I'll get that fixed soon and be able to chat on an IRC. Although I am doing it right now because you, through the goodness of your heart, set up a an SSH box for me, SSH server. What's wrong with my tongue today? And so that's allowing me to log into your server and run IRCII. Or is it IRCII or IRC or...
Looks to me like it would be IRC2 because they went out of their way to capitalize the II at the end. So
okay. IRC2.
That's what I say.
Oh, yeah. Decal says IRC2.
Exactly. Roman numerals.
Thank you for that. I'm doing it through the command line, so I'm feeling all geeky, super geeky, uber geeky, as some would say. I never thought I'd ever say that, but, you know.
We'll make you a galactic overlord. We'll make you a galactic overlord eventually.
Eventually. So, speaking of galactic overlord, we got a little something here that something sent.
You're taking my name in vain?
Somebody was. And I'm going to play it for you here. Again, I am only the messenger, so don't point any fingers at me, all right? I'm going to play it for you right now.
Greetings, precious Mutu. My name is Zach. I am ruler of the 13th quadrant of the 24th galaxy. Recently, we have discovered your communications called the Fresh Ubuntu Podcast, where one of your co-presenters has taken the title of Galactic Overlord. What Galactic Overlord? I had no idea that the elections of the Galactic Overlord pageant were already taking place. I had no chance to apply for the position of Galactic Overlord, and suddenly he claims the title of Galactic Overlord. That just cannot be. It cannot be. I demand a duel with your Galactic Overlord, Peter of Fresh Ubuntu, the Pulse, the Legend, the Open Sourcer, whatever his name is. I demand to see him and face him in a cosmic battle near the little black hole around the corner past the coffee shop. Yes, there we will fight for the true title of the Galactic Overlord. By the way, you can text message 353-ZERG and vote for me as Galactic Overlord, and not Peter of the Nicolaitis, Pulse of Fresh Ubuntu, Open Legend, or whatever his name is. He is not the Galactic Overlord yet. Goodbye.
That's pretty foreboding, you know. I don't know. What do you make of that, Peter?
I got the power of open source on my side, man. I'm not afraid. You know what? I'm just going to use the new uncomplicated firewall and put my shields up, and he's not going to touch me.
There you go.
Sudo UFW enable.
There you go. Take that.
Bring it on.
Take
you
that.
Wannabe Zerg or whatever Zerg. His name was.
Or whatever he calls it. Firewalls are up. All right. So this week we are trying to do this TalkShoe podcast coinciding with the regular podcast. We're kind of live streaming, I guess, and hopefully that is working out. If not, please let us know. You can send your emails and comments to harlem@freshubuntu.org or peter@freshubuntu.org. Anyway, let's hope this experiment works. I have recently been getting into chatting on IRC channels. And speaking of IRC channels, there's going to be an Ubuntu classroom at #ubuntu-classroom. That's an IRC channel for all you new guys. And I may even stop in there. I probably need to brush up on some of my command line stuff too. So, and also,
that's like a fun place to
get. Yeah, it does. I've been hanging out lately on all the other podcasts, Linux podcasts, IRC channels, and that's been a lot of fun. One of these days, we're going to have to talk about IRC etiquette, you know, as a little tech segment, you know.
Oh, I could probably use that.
Yeah, I'm sure we all could. I'm totally brand new to this. Okay, this is all brand new to me. So, Also,
it's funny for IRC. Sorry, for me, IRC is really like a flashback because I first got into it in college, and then I fiddled around with it in like the mid '90s. And but you know, since then, I don't remember the last time I was on IRC prior to Dave and a lot of Linux Links and Chad over at Linux Basement saying that they had IRC channels. It's been a long time.
Oh man. We ought to have a tech segment on that, and I'll do a little bit of research, and then maybe you and I can talk about it, or maybe you can put that on a Hacker Public Radio too. So
ooh, IRC.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Also I sent you an email yesterday about our new logo.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. What did you think, huh?
It's my desktop background.
No. Are you serious?
Yep, I am. I like it. Oh, I'm running it, dude.
Good.
It's good. It's got, I think you should put it out there. You put a link out right in the chat if you want right now to show people what it's like. But yeah, it's good. It's got the headphones. It's got the coffee mug. It's got the Ubuntu logo.
Yep.
What more could you need?
Yeah, not much else, except maybe, oh, I don't know, the Galactic Overlord, a silhouette of the Galactic Overlord.
That might be fun too. the logo can just be a work in progress, you know, as it evolves, as the show evolves, the logo can just continue to evolve with us.
Just like Ubuntu.
Just like Ubuntu evolves. That's right. It'll be a rolling logo. Ubuntu's a rolling distro. We have a rolling logo.
There you go.
And we gotta keep it fresh. Makes perfect sense.
Makes sense to me. So that's what it's gonna be. Unveiling of the new logo will be on the site by no later than tomorrow, Friday. Today is Thursday here in the States, Friday for me, and whatever day that's going to be for the rest of the world. It shouldn't be much longer than Saturday, but that will be unveiled. It is on our TalkShoe site right now. It's our little icon there on our TalkShoe site. So if you want to take a look, you can take a look at our TalkShoe site. And I'll post a link to that in the show notes at freshubuntu.org. So what do you say we get on with the news?
I think it's about time we did.
All right. So we'll be back in a second with the news.
There's something strange going on in my head. It says if I were to get in a car right now, Carolina's where I would end. And to your doorstep, I would be bound to whisper the words that I've always wanted to say. And watch as the sun rips this blue sky away. Cause the colors are always changing. So stare up at the clouds, and at least you know you're always looking up. So Casey, can you read?
Back again, and this time we are we're gonna do the news next. So let me pull up my browser. And the first thing up today, I don't know if you've heard, or if anyone in the chat room or the IRC channel has heard, it looks like they're going to try and release Windows 7 early.
Wait, hold on, one second. Should we say something about the fact that Hardy is out today, or is that just assumed? We've already talked about it, but I mean, you know, I guess we don't have to go into it again. But I think we should at least, honor the fact that Hardy Heron is released today.
Okay,
so.
All right. I bow down to the Galactic Overlord right now.
Thank you. I declare today Galactic Hardy Heron Day. So,
and
sorry. Now you may continue and talk about that inferior operating
system. Let's talk about Hardy Heron for just a second now that you brought it up. Hardy Heron was released today, April 24th, 2008, right on time, actually. Within the six-month cycle from the last release, Gutsy, which released on October 2007. Now, if only Microsoft could do that, you know, with their releases of operating systems, maybe they wouldn't be in this predicament right now. They're trying to leapfrog Vista and release Windows 7 early, and basically it's going to be Windows Vista all fixed up, and I don't know. Your predictions are coming out to be true. Didn't you predict about 4 or 5 months ago that they were going to come out with the next version in 2008?
That would make Windows Vista, like Windows ME, the redheaded stepchild that they wanted to just forget all about. So, you know, and we've covered this before. It's just a rumor. It's just a prediction. But the reason that we brought it in is that I'm not the only one who keeps on beating this dead horse. So it's still out there, and there's still apparently a large number of people who think that, you know, Vista is junk and is going to be replaced ahead of schedule. So, you know, and I've got $5 riding on that too. So,
it's a lot of money nowadays.
That's right. I mean,
that's
I could buy
a gallon of gas.
That, there you go. We're 3 un-DRM'd songs from iTunes or something.
So there you have it. I don't know. There's been a lot of waffling around in the Microsoft camp. Are they going to release Windows 7 soon? Or are they going to keep Windows XP around longer? I've also heard through, you know, various blogs and all that kind of stuff that they're thinking of keeping XP around a little bit longer too. So I don't know what's going on. You hear one thing and then you hear another thing the next day. So,
mm-hmm.
Alrighty. And so the next one we go to is also, I guess, Windows related, but really a little more open source related too, because the OLPC project, the one laptop per child, says, or rumor has it, that may, or, well, maybe not rumor, because Michael Ram said it's probably already a done deal, but may eventually switch from Linux to Windows XP. I don't know.
Yep.
Negroponte is not a huge closed source or a closed proprietary operating system kind of guy, and I don't know why he's doing this. He's also said a few things that sort of stung Intel and Microsoft also, so don't understand what's going on there. Is it the strong arm of Microsoft doing this, or what? I don't know. Your thoughts, Peter?
I'm thinking that it's probably a bunch of things. I think that the adoption of the OLPC has been slower than they would have hoped. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's definitely a politics is a big factor. If you go back and look at what they said last year and when Intel joined the board of directors, and there's just been a lot of just political machinations. And I have to believe that Microsoft and Intel is behind this, obviously. I mean, who else wants Windows on the thing?
Yeah.
But I can't, it's, you know, really that big of a surprise. So it's kind of sad in one way that a very small market, which was exclusively Linux, is quite likely going to lose, you know, market share to Windows. But, in the overall scheme of things, I think that, you know, the OLPC is a rather small market share overall.
Right.
But it's still, you know, it was an innovative project and it was really cool. And as we've said before, I think that it is largely responsible for, you know, the takeoff of the ultra mobile PC market, which we're seeing so much of now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think the downfall really of the OLPC project was, you know, the EEPC, all the other ultra mobile, ultra light flash drive PCs, coming out, you know, just because OLPC generated so much, generated a lot of demand, you know, ramping up to the OLPC, and people just kind of caught onto that, and you know, Asus of course released EEPC, several other folks, MacBook Air, it's a flash drive PC, and lightweight as well. So I think that was their downfall. So unfortunate, it's unfortunate
yep.
for them. Next up. Something a little bit more Ubuntu related. The Register reports Shuttleworth dissects the Hardy Heron arrival. Basically, he's talking about the Hardy Heron release today. Nothing really new here. It was just an interview there. I don't know. Do you have anything to report on this?
Not terribly. I just thought it was, you know, it was a couple of days before the release. They interviewed him, and just, you know, if you're interested in hearing what the king of Ubuntu has to say these days, then just check it out.
Yeah, he has a couple of good ideas here. He wants to synchronize all of open source to have the release dates and the release timing pretty much close to where Ubuntu is, or maybe at the same time. And he's also thinking that he's willing to, you know, move his release dates if it didn't, you know, support others.
Yep.
So,
and that's the part that I like, yeah. Because, you know, we've heard them before. He said that last year, I think he urged, I don't remember if it was KDE or I think it was GNOME. He you know, urge them to get onto a standard release cycle to correspond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that'd be interesting too then, because all of a sudden we'll have another shift maybe in our Ubuntu numbering schemes. It won't be just fours and tens anymore.
That's true. That's true. And it might, I don't know, it might shake things up a bit, I suppose, in the open source world. It would be nice if everyone got on the same page and had the releases roughly around the same time.
Might be interesting, but then, you know, I don't know, like, do we really care, you know, that Andros and Red Hat and SUSE and Ubuntu all come out at the same time? Or is he talking...
I think he's talking I don't know if it's downstream or upstream, but more the developers of, say, Firefox or XMMS and those kinds of things, or even, you know, like the audio stuff, Pulse Audio and OSS
right.
and ALSA.
But if all of your apps, if all of these apps and other components of an operating system are being released on a schedule, then it would stand to reason that the other distros would want to get on that same schedule
absolutely.
As well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad. But it has proven to be good, at least for Ubuntu, Ubuntu's sake. Let's see, a couple of other things that he mentions was the inclusion of Pulse Audio. I know Cafe Ninja has been having some problem running Audacity with Pulse Audio, and that's not good for me either, because I use Audacity to edit this very podcast here. And so I don't know what that is all going to entail. But in his own words, Mark Shuttleworth's own words, he says, audio editing is in this messy situation where if you know what you're doing, then you can get it to work, but it shouldn't be that way. And I absolutely agree with him. I hope that they get these audio issues taken care of, and taken care of very soon. I've still, because of the rolling distro release and how I upgrade my system, I still have the very same audio issue that I've had since Edgy. And that annoys me to no end.
Now, have you tried the same audio stuff on a different installation? Like, have you installed
yes.
it on another machine to see if it does that too?
Yep, I have.
And it does? It persists?
It doesn't.
Or?
It doesn't persist.
Mm.
So something between Feisty and Edgy, or is it Edgy and Feisty? I don't know.
Yep.
Happens.
So something along with Edgy and never let go.
Never.
And that wasn't, have you tried just like wiping out your, you know, your settings in your home directory to see if that fixed the problem?
No, I haven't tried that because I didn't want to try anything drastic. You know, I wanted to work through the situation and get the sound working, you know.
Well, you can always, yeah, but I'm just wondering though, because I'm not fully, you know, in tune with exactly how Ubuntu does its upgrades and stuff, but I know a lot of packages get completely replaced. So presumably a lot of what's going to be left over is just going to be settings, and those would all be, you know, hidden in your home directory. So you could just do a backup or you find like the audio, you know, the settings for Audacity or something and just archive that folder and blow it away and then start with a fresh, you know, just run Audacity and it should make a whole new set of settings for
you.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. I could,
and that may, if that fixes it, then it was just a configuration problem.
Right.
And that, unfortunately, configuration problems will persist through upgrades.
Mm-hmm. I'll give that a try and see how that works. But I've literally tried every how-to on the whole internet on sound, and nothing. I haven't got a thing to show for it. So, anyway, that's a good. It was a pretty good article. Ubuntu's. Mark Shuttleworth dissects Hardy Heron's arrival. That was on the Register at theregister.com. And next up is the new Debian leader. This is from the itwire.com website, connecting technology professionals. New Debian leader aims for better communication. This was your article here. So what did you think of this article here?
I just tagged it just because, as we all know, Debian is the, you know, like the father of Ubuntu, and, you know, all of the Ubuntu releases come from it. But also, on a personal note, a lot of the work I've been doing in volunteering on a local committee recently has been really frustrating because of poor communication. So I just wanted to applaud Steve McIntyre, the new leader of the Debian Foundation, for making better communications his main goal. It was a good little interview, and you know, they asked a lot of decent little questions. But if you're at all interested in you know, Ubuntu's heritage, or just, you know, the Debian operating system as itself, then check it out.
I've ever heard about the Debian. You know, you hear a lot of rumors. You're in Linux, you're in open source, and you hear a lot about Debian developers. I hear they're pretty cutthroat. Is that true for the most part?
Well, I don't know any Debian developers myself, so I can't really answer.
Any Debian developers in the IRC channel? They probably don't visit Fresh Ubuntu, huh? Mm.
There have been some spats between the Debian team and the Ubuntu teams, yeah. But there were some complaints, I remember a couple of years ago, about what was it? They were saying that Ubuntu was getting patched before Debian was, because the person maintaining the patch was on both of the dev teams. and they accused them of, you know, playing favorites and patching Ubuntu first and stuff. What are you going to do? You got to do one first. What's it, you know, flip a coin, I guess. Yeah. So.
All right. The next up, we got OSCON, the Open Source Conference, usually held up here in Portland, Oregon, the lovely city of Portland, Oregon, my fair city. Scheduled for July 21st through the 25th, and in 2008, expected to draw some 2,500 open source experts, visionaries and hackers. That kind of scares me. But I think running a little bit before that is the Ubuntu Live Conference. Or maybe even running at the same time. I was there at the Ubuntu Live Conference last year, and that was a lot of fun, and got to meet Mark Shuttleworth and John Mad Dog Hall. I was there up there with the Tim Baboski. He was helping me out, and we had a good old time up there. So for those of you who are interested in open source and open source conferences, you can head up to Portland, Oregon on July 21st through the 25th for the OSCON 2008, and maybe also check out the Ubuntu Live Conference. I have nothing more to say about that, but we have another article here about the most significant release ever approaches. This is a desktoplinux.com article, and you wanted to keep this in because, Peter?
I wanted to keep it in just because it was just a good overview of Hardy Heron. And in addition to stability and, you know, an LTS release, what are you getting out of it? Mm-hmm. We've covered some of these things before, but one of the things that we found today, and I had not seen this, this is the first time I've seen this, was that Ubuntu Hardy Heron 8.04 includes something called Uncomplicated Firewall. And I loved it. We fiddled around for it a little bit. I couldn't find how we got into this thing, so I used the help system, which thankfully was up to date, and I searched for firewall. And there is a command, UFW, and it actually stands for Uncomplicated Firewall. And I had never heard of this program prior to today, but I'm going to do a little tech segment on this probably next week or maybe today by the time we, you know, get around to recording everything. It's basically a front end to Netfilter. It's command line driven, but it's a lot simpler than IP tables. Now, from what I've seen, it doesn't have all the power of IP tables, but if you just want to do something really simple, like say open the port to allow SSH or allow port 80 or something like that, the syntax is just so much simpler than what you would do in something like IP tables. So I did this to test it on my own machine here, and I installed the OpenSSH server after enabling the firewall, and I could not SSH to the box because the firewall was enabled and it was blocking everything. And so I just issued the command UFW allow 22 being the port for SSH, and it works.
Perfect.
And I couldn't even remember what the IP table syntax would be. I mean, it's something like, unless you deal with it constantly, it's really, really complicated. So I was glad to see that. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's got all kinds of different software upgrades. It's got a new BitTorrent client. We're running the Firefox beta now. I was a little bit hesitant about that, but, you know, I'm sure that's something that's going to come out of beta, obviously, as soon as the, you know, Firefox is out of beta, that, you know, Ubuntu will be updated. So, you know, it's shaping up to be a good release. And the artwork, my wife looked at it and said, wow, I really like that. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it too. I love the wallpaper. It's really, you know, artistic and it's classy and all that kind of stuff. One thing about the uncomplicated firewall is it's also protecting you from this other so-called galactic overlord. So
pretty decent. I'm using it.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. Another note on the artwork too. Mm-hmm. They included the elephant from the Gutsy release, so that's still an option.
Okay.
And there's also a plain brown background. But you also, if you go into your appearance preferences, you can see that there's the version of the background with and without the heron.
Oh, very.
So cool. If you like the bird, you can leave it. But I don't really care for the birds. So I got rid of it. But the rest of the background stays the same. Yeah. So you can do that if you like to.
Cool. I kind of like the bird. I'm going to probably keep it around. I was hoping that for a different color, but it's not too.
Yeah.
You know how it is. Oh, by the way, speaking of color, I was looking at Linux Journal. They have a podcast, a screencast, and you mentioned a few podcasts ago about the green glossy the wallpaper that they used to have on there. And you're right; it's right off the bat you can tell it's Ubuntu. You know, it's a very brand specific type of wallpaper and color for that matter. So I guess that's not too bad, I guess. And the last thing we got for news.
It's kind of dead on me there.
What's that? Hello? And okay, I'm just going to keep going. And the last thing we have this for the news this week is actually a couple of things. Ubuntu Open Week starts Monday, April 23rd and lasts till Saturday, May 3rd. And that happens on IRC. So get yourself an IRC chat client, whether it be Pigeon, whether it be XChat, whether it be something else. Join, is it on Freenode? I think it's on Freenode, right? And let's see here. Let me pause the recording. Ooh, it stopped. Okay. Bear with us, folks. We are having a little technical difficulty. I'm going to try and get Peter back on the line. I wonder if I'm still on the talk show here. Let's see, Cafe Ninja, can you still hear me? Okay, good. Try to get Peter back on the line here. Do start. Technology has failed us. Oh, that's funny. The Squid Lord, that was funny.
Yo, I'm back.
All right, we got him back. Oh. The Squid Lord just said, technology has failed us. He's bowing with a flourish.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, no, technology has failed us, indeed. Misspelled technology there. That is not the way a lolcat would spell that.
Uh-oh. The flame wars begin here. Okay, let me start with my recording again. I think I'm still, I'm still recording on TalkShoe, but not on Skype. So let me start the call again. Start the recording again. Let's see. Ooh, we may have a problem here, Peter. You still there?
I am still here.
We may have a problem here.
What's the word?
The recording. Oh well, I can get it off of TalkShoe. Shoot. Oh, I don't want to transfer. Oh, jeez. This is awesome, Harlem. Just what we were looking for. Chat plus audio. Yep.
Minus the audio.
Okay, I'm trying to get... I'm not seeing the recording pop up here. Uh-oh. What happened? Maybe we're still recording. Who knows? Okay. What do I got to do here? Hold on one second. I'm going to do a couple of things. Apologize. Oh, maybe it's still going. Okay. I hope it's still going. Either way, I can get the. I wonder how we stop recording here. Sorry, people. Just one second here. Paste. Dead air. Okay. Now I'm going to shut down my recording thing here. All right. We are back. Good. I think hopefully we'll everything was a disaster was averted, and we hope. I think the last thing I said was Ubuntu Open Week will be starting on Monday, April 28th, and ending on Saturday, May 3rd on IRC at /Ubuntu-Classroom. Classroom. let's see. A bunch of stuff is going to be happening. Joan O'Bacon will be on there talking about Welcome to Ubuntu Open Week. He'll talk about packaging as well, and Ubuntu on the EEPC by Lars Verzinius. Bug reporting by Brian Murray. That'll be on the first day, on Monday, the 28th. All kinds of good stuff, so you can learn all about Ubuntu, sort of a instant immersion Ubuntu for new users. And does it come with an EEPC? Well, I don't know. I wish it did. I'd love one. So anyway, Ubuntu Open Week, you can check that out at wiki.ubuntu.com/Ubuntu Open Week. And if you are still wanting to download the ISOs, I have a very nice link from a very nice gentleman who's been on the show before, Michael Ram. He gave me a link of all the Hardy torrents, and I will put that on my blog at freshubuntu.org. Basically, it's at blog.1manit.net/HardyTorrents. And let me spell that for you real quick. One, that's the number one, MANIT.net. And Hardy Torrents is just one word. So you can check that out. That will be at freshubuntu.org, and as well as all of the links mentioned here. And so now it is time to go to our user feedback, right?
Sounds good.
Okay. Let me open up my client here. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. User feedback. No, not yet. We're doing a man page minute.
Yeah, we can do that too.
I'm sorry. So we're going to cut away now for a man page minute. And all this technical difficulty has really got me a little bit flustered here. So
get it together. Get it together. You can do this.
I feel like I'm being body snatched right now by the
Stay with me, Hart. Stay with me.
All right, we're cutting away for a man page minute. We'll be back in just a second. And what is it this week?
We're going to do links.
Links.
Links in the file system. LN, not links. Sorry, links is a different command. It's the LN command, which
LN.
You use to make lists.
I see. LN command. Man page minute by Peter Nicolaitis.
Hey, this is Harlem, and I am presenting this week's Man Page Minute. You're probably wondering where Peter is, and I think he may have forgotten about it. He got called into a meeting, quote-unquote. So, how's that for being a galactic overlord? So, anyway, this week's Man Page Minute is the LN command, or it's a link command. It's a command that creates a link to a file. The syntax is LN. And any options you want to input, the file name, the existing file name, and the new file name that you want to link it to. Some of the options that you might encounter is the -f command, which links the file without questioning the user. This is the default or standard input. The -n command, option. This option does not overwrite the existing file. And the -s option. It makes it so it doesn't create a symbolic link. An example would be ln-s, the name of the file name 1, and file name 2 that you want to make a symbolic link to. Now, a symbolic link is also known as soft link or symlink. Created with the ln command, of course, and that links to another file using the path, unlike a hard link. A symbolic link can link to any file on any computer. Well, that is this week's Man Page Minute. And by the way, this Man Page Minute was brought to you by the Grand Central Web Call button on my site there at freshubuntu.org. It's pretty quick and simple. All you have to do is click on the link there or dial 1-971-239-4599. Cafe Ninja will verify that it does work.
No need to put it on the show, but Cafe Ninja, all the way across the Atlantic, can tell you that the direct dial number for Grand Central works. Bye.
All right. That's the Man Page Minute for this week, and thank you for joining us.
All right, welcome back. Another great Man Page Minute by our co-host, Peter Nicolaitis, who's going to be handing off those Man Page Minute duties to someone else. Isn't that correct?
For a little while. Yep, I'm gonna take a little hiatus and let someone else do some guest spots on the MPMs for a while. So I'm looking forward to that.
Who's it gonna be?
That remains to be seen. It's someone's voice intriguing. Who you've heard before. But you know what we should do? We should put out a little survey. You know, like, who do you think it's gonna be? Could it be the nose? Could it be Nightwise?
Could it be?
Could be anybody.
Hmm.
It could be Scott Wilsey.
It could be Bill Gates. Steve Ballmer.
It was someone whose voice you've heard on the show. Let's put it that way. Last I checked, we hadn't had Bill here on the show.
Yeah. All
it's
right.
Probably
so
better though.
Write it in. Call it in. Twitter it in. Email it in to freshubuntu@gmail.com, peter@freshubuntu.org, or harlem@freshubuntu.org. Well, let's go on to our user feedback now. And as I banter or you banter, hint, hint, while I open up my email client. Okay, I'll banter.
So, I was going to say, a fawn, a heron, and an ibex walk into a bar.
Right.
Ubuntu.
Okay, I've got a comment here. Finally, it's open. A comment here from Sam M., and he writes, "The latest podcast was great as usual. Keep up the great job. I tried to post a comment on the last show, and it didn't appear to be working right. He got this fatal error, and that was about the time I was updating my WordPress install from 2.3 to 2.5, and that was sort of a fiasco in itself. But he leaves a comment, and he was saying, I was trying to comment that VirtualBox is now owned by Sun 2. Can't wait for Peter's response. So, Peter, what do you say about that?
Well, we actually did cover that. Yep. We covered that when the news broke, a month or two back.
Uh-huh.
And Alan did mention that also, that, you know, that they bought InnoTech. So, he actually talked about that, how what probably happened is Sam probably just zoned out because that episode was so darn long last week. So he probably just didn't make it through the whole thing.
The droning of our voices.
Exactly. It's just we lulled him right off to sleep.
Right.
So, but yeah, InnoTech bought it. But again, that's something, though, I think that's a little different because InnoTech always did have, as far as I know, they always did have a commercial and a free, you know, community open source version as well. So that's there have been feature, you know, differences from the get-go, as far as I know. So that was a new thing there.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, there you go, Sam. You've got Peter's feedback on that. Really interesting what Sun is doing. There's also some stuff out in the blogs out there about the creator of MySQL, who is now working as the vice president of databases for Sun, actually decided to close source MySQL well before he sold MySQL to Sun. So I don't know what's going on there, but anyway. You still there, Peter?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm listening. I'm just pulling down, just going through my feedback here and digging up that logo that you made.
Ah, okay. A comment here from Jim. He says, "Dear Harlem and Peter, I've become a weekly listener to Fresh Ubuntu and appreciate your efforts. Thanks. There are two things that you would enhance my Fresh Ubuntu experience, and maybe they would be helpful for others as well. Would you please consider arranging the show note links in strictly chronological order? As it stands, you seem to list the links a little haphazardly. Your links followed exactly the order of the corresponding points as they are mentioned in your dialogue. It would make life easier for those of us who click along while listening to the narrative. And B, speaking of links, every time I click one, I'm taken away from the freshubuntu.org page. Why not encode the tags with target equals underscore blank parameters so that the linked page opens up in a separate tab or window, depending on how the user sets up the browser. Although I listened to the podcast OGG file in VLC, I would like to think, or I would think, that being taken away from the page would be annoying for those who use the embedded Flash player. Yeah, it could be. Once again, thanks for Fresh Ubuntu. I look forward to next week's edition. Regards, Jim from Chesapeake, Virginia. Okay.
Well, I've got to say that since you do all of the arranging of the links in the show notes and stuff, that I think that's a fabulous idea. I think that's a great idea, and that we will get right on that and make sure that all of the show notes are arranged chronologically.
Thanks, Peter. And yes, I
always glad to help.
Before I go on any further about this, we are sort of a we're amateurs here at Fresh Ubuntu, and some days I am on top of things, and some days I'm not. And so, bear with us as this show again starts getting a little bit better and better each and every week. And I will try and do the links in chronological order. Although it may not be the case some weeks because sometimes, you know, life gets in the way, that kind of thing. And for opening the links in another page or tab, I suppose so. But then that might require extra, I don't know, coding, extra typing. I know I'm lazy.
When you put the links in, how do you just type straight HTML into the post, or how are you doing this?
I cut and paste from. I get the source file from Delicious through the browser, and just cut and paste. And okay. It's easier that way.
It would take a little bit, but it's not that big. I can show you how to streamline that and go pretty quickly.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe you can give me a little primer on that. I know it's just adding a tag and that, or a parameter, and that's I'm all for it, but I'm all for getting it done quick and easy too. So, but I will try and list those links in chronological order. Okay, Jim? No problem. See, we can take constructive criticism here at Fresh Ubuntu.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I'm okay. I'll cry later. Gentleman left a Tim. Tim from, it doesn't say where he's from, but anyway. Tim left me a comment at freshubuntu.org. He said, I've been listening to the podcast for a long time. You guys do an excellent job. I'll be listening to Alan's podcast as well. Great wallpaper, by the way. Keep it up, Tim. You can see all the comments on this, blah, blah, blah. Did I mention that we have a wallpaper? Yeah, I mentioned that last week, right?
You mentioned last week the one that Richard Quirin did.
Yes. Okay. Good.
And the week you mentioned the new one that you made.
Uh-huh. Yes. A logo. That's actually a logo.
Yes.
Which you are using.
Oh, that's wallpaper. A logo, but I'm using it as a wallpaper. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, thanks for the kind words, Tim. And we got Alan a listener there. Cool. A comment from Jason Watkins. He's been on the show before, and he says about Windows XP. Hi, folks. Great show again. Thanks. Official support for XP ends on April 14th, 2009. Extended support for XP ends on April 8th, 2014. And these are from Microsoft's own website. Thanks right. again. I don't know what to believe, Jason. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. I have no idea. Anywho.
Yeah, XP is going to be around for a little while longer, even if they're not selling it. I'm backing up my ISOs and my installation disks, so I'll be able to reuse that when I have to use Windows somewhere for some time.
Man. Do you got anything?
I think most of the feedback I had this week came via you, so I don't think I have anything specific other than... No, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, I think I have a couple other... Hold on 1 second while I pull up my Grand Central account.
Did you? What about the email from Andrew Moster?
Oh yeah, okay.
Can you take that one?
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Whoops. I don't need to put that on there. Let me see. No, I will put on what? Which one? Andrew who? Andrew Moster.
Andrew Moster. Yep.
Yeah.
Came in just yesterday.
Oh, I got a couple more comments too.
Oh, okay. Well, the one that I got from Andrew, or you, because he sent it by the website, First off, I want to say great show, Harlem and Peter. Ever since you helped me with Ubuntu on a tablet PC, I started loving Ubuntu. I am an all-time listener, and you inspired me to help other people get hooked on Linux. Since your episode talking about VirtualBox, I thought it would be a great tool to use to play with many different distros. But also, I decided to talk to my Linux teacher about VirtualBox because all of my classmates were telling me they would love to play around with Linux, but they don't want to partition their drives. So since I listened to your show, I got my teacher teaching his students on how to install VirtualBox and run Ubuntu on it. Hopefully, even though it's a small group of people, but hopefully this is will improve the Linux community. Just want to say, great show, and you can suggest to everyone that you can use VirtualBox to play around with different distros or just run the best one of them all, Ubuntu. So,
there you go.
I was actually happy. I guess I remember that email. It came in some time ago. You know, some questions about the tablet PC. I just did a little bit of research, and you know, I think you or me, you know, found the a link and said, you know, hey, maybe this will help. And
right.
Apparently, it did. So, great.
Cool. You need to send me that link too, because maybe because I'm trying to get my Wacom tablet to work on Ubuntu. So I know there's some Xorg configuration I need to do, and I'm just afraid to do it. So last time I played around with Xorg, I trashed my system. So
right.
You can send me that link too, and we'll put that up on the website again. But
see what we can do.
Yep, thanks Andrew for sending that in. And one last one. I got one last one from Chase Clark. His name, he says, hey, I think you have a great show. Recently with Hardy Heron coming out, I was thinking of repartitioning my drive to separate the operating system from my data. That's a good idea. I'm new to Linux, so I'm hoping to try other Linux flavors easily. I think I remember you mentioning that this is similar to your configuration. I could be wrong. My question is, can I install programs on the second partition that will still run on a new Linux install, and how could this be done? Are there any pitfalls I could run into? And this would be a lifesaver since I hope to install software on a flash card for my EEE PC, and this would allow me to do that as well. Thank you. P.S. I hope this email makes sense. Signed, Adeptus. Well, I know you can put your home directory on a separate partition. But how about, he wants to know, I think is what he's saying is installing packages on a separate partition so that when he puts on a new Linux distro or updates the Linux distro, it'll run that hard software too. Is that what you're getting out of this, Peter? I'm not sure. Peter, are you still there? Did I lose you again?
I'm losing. You're breaking up. I'm catching like every third syllable.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So I don't know what I guess what he's trying to do is have a partition for his home drive or his home directory and a partition for his, applications? I'm not sure. I don't know. Email us back and try and explain it a little bit more clearly, because I don't understand what you're trying to say here. I know you're trying to get your home directory in a separate partition, which is a good idea. But as for the rest of them, I don't know if that's doable. Or maybe I'm not understanding. I don't know. So that's going to do it for my feedback. Do you have anything else, Peter?
No, I'm pretty much done.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Let me do one last check here. One last check through the emails. One last comment. I have one more comment. Is that okay?
Go right ahead.
All right. It's from Vaughn, and he's been following me on Twitter. He says, I've been following both of you on Twitter and have caught the last few podcasts. You guys do a great job. I've been a consumer Linux user for about 7 years or so. The first few years, I just played around with it on a spare computer, testing different distros. Around 2002, I used Red Hat 8 as my main operating system and followed it through Fedora Core 2. After some time on SUSE, I heard about Ubuntu Breezy Badger and wanted to see what all the hype was about, and I found that Ubuntu deserved all the hype, and I was sold. Anyway, over time, I've become a Linux open source advocate, talking about it to my friends and family, and I've come to a point that I feel like I should be doing more. He's recently joined a LUG group and all that kind of stuff. His question is, how can he participate or contribute to Linux Ubuntu open source? He's got a full-time job, a family, And so he doesn't know what he can offer and would be beneficial. He's not a programmer, so he can't program, but there might be other things that he could do. Do you have any suggestions for him, Peter? Hello?
Oh, man.
Peter, are you still there?
I'm back.
Okay.
Kind of. I think I know the email you're talking about the gentleman who's trying to figure out how he can contribute to open source.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a bunch of different things.
You're cutting out pretty bad.
Can you that way? Doing documentation. If you have the inclination, start a blog or a podcast and just put down useful tidbits of info. I was doing this for a while. I haven't done quite as much lately, but anytime I find if I think about it, just, you know, boom, here was the fix. And, you know, Google's going to eventually, someone else might stumble across it and find the fix useful as well. So those are some things. And also send a few bucks to a project that you like, to some kind of open source project that needs funding. There's plenty of ways to help, even if you're not a programmer.
Yep. And before we leave, we have one more thing that I believe, and you didn't hear this from me, but through the rumor mill, Metasploit and Karma are going to be merged, apparently, or something like that. Is it a merge? Anyway, they're going to call it Karmetasploit, and I don't know. That's the rumor going around in the chat rooms right now. So there you go. Spread it around. Spread that rumor around. We'll see if it comes back.
Rumor. It was a rumor, just to make sure that's perfectly clear.
Hey, rumor. Okay, so there you go. That's going to do it for this week. You know, Peter, folks in the chat room are saying you're cutting in and out, and you're running your torrent file, your torrent BitTorrent client. Are you doing that right now while we're podcasting?
No, I've done everything. It's not me.
Okay. All right.
It's Michael Rabb. He's chewing up all my bandwidth. He admitted it.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this week, the Fresh Ubuntu podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. The music for this week's podcast was, again, provided by IOTA PromoNet. And you can reach us via email at harlem@freshubuntu.org or peter@freshubuntu.org. Let's see, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/harlem or twitter.com/Nicolaitis. And let me see, where are my notes? Everything, all the links that were mentioned in the podcast will be on the website, the companion website to this podcast at freshubuntu.org. Should be up and running by tomorrow, as well as you might as well go
in
there.
In chronological order.
In chronological order, mind you. Go to the site anyway, just to check out the new logo. It'll be up by tomorrow, for sure. So, anyway, that's going to do it for this week. I have nothing else. Peter, you want to say anything?
No. Okay. No, I'm done. Okay. Let's go and go play with Hardy.
All right. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you very much for joining us here on TalkShoe.com and also on the IRC channels at @FreshUbuntu. You can always get a hold of us there. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye now.